Welcome to The Watchman, your weekly 60-minute expose on Bible prophecy and everything you need to know about the times we live, for the coming of the Lord is sooner than you think.
Good evening. Welcome to The Watchman today as we continue with our study of end time generally, but some other things as well, which we have been speaking about and which have been of importance to us and to the church. And just so that you know, we had our final overnight prayer last Friday, so there is not going to be an overnight this Friday. The day after tomorrow, they will only come back on the 15th of January. So the overnights return on 15th January. So please do not go to that place on Friday night and bounce. Just thought I should tell you that, even if you might have heard it last time. But while we were in the overnights, there were quite a number of things that were of tremendous importance that we were talking about, and we started a series on how to be led by the Holy Spirit, and we spoke about how important it is for the children of God to get away from the stage where they want God to help them do what they want to do, rather than they themselves submitting to God's will, and then they step into it and then somehow find life a lot easier there. But anyhow, before I get into that, there are some other things that I want to speak about concerning end time. I'll just make a small announcement towards the end of this. So for the purposes of the people of the Watchman Ministries, because there are so many other people who just hear and want to get the information that there is and move on, basically. They are not that interested in becoming a part of the ministry, but then there are those who are a part of the ministry. Both, all of them are appreciated one way or the other. So somebody sent me an email after last week's show, in which I spoke a bit about some of the issues that were talked about at the COP21, the climate change conference that has been taking place in Paris, and which concluded just a few days ago with what was called, across all the networks, called a historic agreement, the beginning of what apparently the people have left a legacy for their children and their grandchildren, a legacy of climate change, and so on and so forth. And I spoke here and I said that climate change is a hoax, the world's biggest hoax. It is, there is no such thing, there is no climate change. And I told you, not that I'm basing any of anything I'm saying on science. I don't ever base anything on science. Science to me is a very, very distant reality. It is something I hardly ever, of course in some areas I do, but I know that there's something that is higher than science, that trumps science completely, if you know what I'm saying. So science to me is like a university student going back to his O-level notes to study certain things. Maybe you might pick a few things there, but the truth is, it's nothing. You've moved on to a higher level. So the higher level is the Bible. Okay, science is the lowest of the lowest levels. It's absolutely low. But anyhow, but and when we are discussing things here, even if they sound intellectual, it is all based on the Bible. It's all based on the Bible. Anyhow, so I was telling you that, but there are some scientists who do not believe, who have proven that there is no such thing as global warming. Now, the whole thing, at first, it was called global warming at the beginning, I told you, but then people showed that over a period of, if you judge the Earth by 100 years, there is not an increase in temperature. It goes up and down and up and down and up and down. So on average, it is the same, more or less the same. So they turned it around to climate change, which was more agreeable. So it's no longer global warming, it's now private climate change. And you have to understand, but to understand why I know it is a hoax, which is costing hundreds of billions of dollars, to understand why I believe that, you have to understand the whole New World Order agenda and the things they are planning for this world. And you have to understand that climate change and the legislation that is going to come from that agreement is going to be just a step in that direction. So now, while you might be thinking, how can it be? I mean, how can all these people, apparently intelligent people in suits and everything, gather over hoax? Now, just know that that's how the world operates. Okay. Now, what we are basically saying is this: that somebody sent me an email message, and what is he saying? He's saying that You are wrong on climate change, the El Nino rains. There's some scientist here who even won an award, and what the scientist here who proved that it is true climate change. And I told him now, first of all, I also told him I don't base anything on science, but there are also other scientists across the world whose reports I've read who say it is not there. There is no such thing as global warming. The temperatures of the world have actually been coming down since 1998 when they peaked, and they will come down in a certain cycle, and then they will go back up, then they will come back down. And now actually, that is in the Bible, in cycles. And you can even actually see it in the Bible when there were cycles of one thing and the other. I mean, famine, which usually was just a shortage of rain and a lot of heat, and then other times there's an abundance, and all this, it's all over. It has been there for forever, okay? But of course now, it's going to become a big deal, and apparently human beings are going to be the ones causing it. And I also told you all the issues of how one of the biggest things on their mind is cutting down the population in Africa. And you saw how they have released $100 billion for the purpose of helping poorer countries to adapt to this climate change. Now, what is going to happen is it is the poorer countries that are actually going to get a lot of the legislation, which is oppressive, up in the name of climate change, because there's going to be all this coal and what, because the countries that produce the most, carbon whatever are China and America, in that order. They are not the ones which are going to be affected by this legislation, although they are the ones who made it. Now what they are going to come and do is come down on certain things, and actually it is going to be a basis for an erosion of a middle class, because what the New World Order are planning is no middle class, where they have almost a royal class, a top class, and then the rest are servants. Erosion of middle class. So those who are serving the top class are rewarded with means of production, they are rewarded with food, they are rewarded with land and everything they need to live a life. Now those who refuse to bow down to that, system, well, somehow they are deprived of all those things and they die. Now, it's all based on reducing populations, keeping useful people, getting rid of useless people. Now, it might sound like the biggest conspiracy you've ever had, but it is true. And there are so many things that are already pointing in that direction of what I'm doing. And that climate change thing is one of those things that seem to be pointing in that direction. But I also just want to tell you that there really isn't anything new in what these people are doing. Nothing. There is not a thing new in what they are doing. I can tell you that for a fact. How do I know? Because it's been done before, the whole thing of environmentalism. Now let me tell you where oppression starts historically, okay? Number one, in 1933, the Nazis in Germany passed the first law of protection of animals, animal rights law. So animals had certain rights, and their rights were very strong. By the way, there is a way you could you could not transport animals. There is a way they eventually banned what is called vivisection, which is using animals for experiments that might be useful to human beings. In other words, if you go and cut, let's say, a cat, to find out how it works and how its system works to help human beings, that is, was apparently against the law. So they banned that. They banned certain people from having pets. Pets were apparently, such a precious thing, nobody could have them. So basically, eventually, over a period of time, they passed legislation which made animals almost the same as human beings in terms of rights. Actually, by 1938, animals had more rights than Jews in America, or rather in Nazi Germany. And Jews were not permitted to have pets, because you cannot own a pet when a pet is considered to be more important than you are. So certain animals like horses and what were viewed almost reverentially, as if they are some sort of form of gods, almost the way the Hindus see cows and something like that. So that was one of the things, animal rights activism and all that thing. And Hitler was at the back of it, and he had these strong generals who were pushing all these things. So now they said you had to anesthetize animals before you kill them. So if you were going to kill a cow, you could not let it feel any pain. You had to give it anesthesia, which is that injection which they give you when, so that you don't feel pain, let's say when they are taking out your tooth or something like that, or doing, you have to anesthetize them, then kill them decently, apparently. No, that's how important they were. And, you know, not to be used in scientific experimentation, and what, there's a way you should transport them. Those who violate those laws were sent to concentration camps for apparently cruelty against animals. And when it was first raised, that law, people said, now, you know, this shows that, you know, and they said that you can tell somebody's heart by the way he treats animals. And so somehow the Nazis were praised as, these are very good people, they treat animals so well. And that all sounded good until they started seeing the way they were treating human beings. And then they put animals above human beings. All this is the devil, by the way. The source of it all is the devil. It is the devil who wants to get human beings and let them equate themselves to animals. Okay? Because then, as I told you before, it's a form of a slap in the face of God. Because he knows this human being has the image of God, has the likeness of God. So then he goes and deceives those people, apparently in the name of knowledge, science, and all that rubbish, to make themselves animals. And then he looks, it's more or less a slap in God's face, as it were. I mean, figuratively speaking, of course. Not that the devil can do that, figuratively speaking, because he knows how much these human beings mean to God. So if he can deceive them to berate themselves and completely denigrate themselves to that level, then wow, he has a good laugh. I mean, now look at these guys who think. Now, what happens as a result of that is when animals are now equated to human beings, the next step that he did was environmentalism. People were told to leave certain places, certain forests, for animals to be there. They should not be interrupted by human life. So people are sent away, especially Jews who had lands and farms and what, sent away from their farms, sent into camps, so that those places are used for animals. I mean, precious animals. Now, Jews, for you at the bottom of the rank, find some place. So they take you to a slum, to some sort of, you know, ghetto where you live, so that animals can have your land and have a nice time. So environmentalism, animal rights, protectionism. Then the next thing is gun laws. They started withdrawing guns from even hunting guns and all those things. There were very strict laws on hunting. Only a certain top class of the Nazis were allowed to hunt. Now, they started removing guns, first of all from the Jews. Now, people didn't understand why they were doing these things. But if they had read Hitler's book, which he had written earlier, even before he became, you know, the head of Germany, they should have known what his opinion is of the Jews. And of course, one of the reasons, after they passed the animal rights law, one of the reasons they used to make people hate the Jews is the way the Jews went and would do their kosher sacrifices, the way they would kill animals in the the way it is done in the Old Testament. And according to animal rights activists, that was a very, very heartless thing. And even according to some people today, it's very hard. How would you kill an animal like that and what? But somehow God is the one who told them to do that, okay? Because God does not see animals in the same way as human beings. But when people become too intelligent, they start, you know, getting a bit, you know, nervous about certain things, which actually should not make them nervous. Anyhow, and Hitler was a vegetarian, by the way. So, animal rights activists, environmentalism, gun control laws. Now, you might wonder why Obama is so intent on changing the gun control laws in America, because almost everybody has a gun, and anybody who is not a criminal has a gun. Now, you might say that's a big problem, and maybe they should take the guns away because people are using the guns badly and all this and that. But the truth is, those laws have been existed for a long time, and people have had guns for a long time. And if there is a reason why people are misusing them right now, it is not so much because they have the guns, because they've always had them. There must be another reason why people are misusing guns and killing people. Now, but I'm not getting to the gun control thing, because that's not important for me. But what is the fact that you understand that this is precisely how Nazi Germany came, and the idea they had of creating a top race of the Aryans. And now the Aryans were the only ones, those who fitted into the Aryan race, which Hitler saw as the supreme race, were the only ones allowed to have pets. Now, the idea of creating a top race of Aryans and then people serving them under has been conceived before, and it's being conceived right now before our eyes. And some people would think it is not true, but it's just a matter of a few years, by the way. The progress those people have made in 2015 in pushing us towards the New World Order agenda is tremendous, tremendous. Now, by this time next year, there is going to be great progress in their in the New World Order people, pushing us in that direction of theirs, which is a demonic agenda, which at the end of it all is going to lead, of course, to the coming of the Antichrist, who is going to be at the head of that system. And well, at that about the time when we will be when we as the church will be taken away and leave them, those people who choose that sort of life, leave them to their own vices, and we go and find someplace else. By the end of 1939, it was so clear that that's when people started understanding who Hitler was. He comes in, he's telling people, you know what, we have to have laws on the environment, on animal rights, you know, guns have to be taken away from bad people. And how did the gun control thing started? There was a Jewish teenager who shot dead a German citizen in France, in Paris, France. And on November 9th, okay, now those who were at the conference, and I taught you a bit about numerology, you know what 9, 11, and 13 mean to the occult people. Now, almost all the things that when Hitler stood up and announced certain his anti-Jewish crusade, it was actually November of November 9th, 11, 9, 1939, when it now became very apparent that this is what this man is all about. That's when it's called the Night of the Broken Glass, when Jews were attacked, all business, Jewish businesses were attacked in Germany, and they called it Broken Glass because so many of the glasses of their windows were broken, and there was looting and things like that, and Jews were from that that time onwards not permitted to own or have businesses, and you know those things, and it was just the beginning of a whole demonic agenda in which some people think they have a bigger right to own the world than other people. Now, other people are supposed to do two things, one of two things: either you become subservient and serve the ruling class, or you die. There is no other option. You either become useful to the ruling class or die, which is precisely what Hitler did to the Jews. They take you to a concentration camp where you are either making shoes, making guns. There were Jews who were not allowed in gun factories, where, but okay, somewhere, either making Jews, making guns or shoes, guns, you know, weapons, some kind of thing, where you have some skill which is being exploited by them. And if you do, they will keep you alive just so that you can produce for them what they want to produce. Because, of course, there are so many Jews who had great intellectual skills. So they use you for that purpose. But those who are useless, you know, these children, what, you know, they are killed. And you've seen those movies where a man comes and says, I'm a history professor, and they just send him to the gallows. We don't need anybody to teach us history. Now, if you come and say you're a cobbler, if you come and say you're a tailor or something, they make you tailor uniforms and what, then they will keep you alive for as long as there is use for you. Now, that's precisely where the world is heading. You might not think it is true, but it is. And that's precisely at least what they are planning. It might not end up that way because so many of their plans have been interrupted by what? By God, okay? Because God has different plans and he keeps on interrupting their plans. But that is precisely what the New World Order is planning for a time not so far away from now, by the way. And they own all ways of production. One of the things they are going to be in control of, and the Bible says that clearly, is food. They want to be in control of food, and so they have to. The climate change agreement was so important in that it helps them make legislation on how people plant food and what. So somehow you have to go to them for the seeds. Now, all this genetically modified stuff that is all over the place is all a part of that agenda. Those seeds do not replicate themselves. You get seeds from them, you plant, you have to go back to them to get the seeds. Now, of course, God created a seed in everything. Everything replicates itself from human beings down to plants and animals. So, in other words, if you want a pineapple, the solution is in a pineapple. You get a pineapple, what, and plant that, and you get another pineapple. And that one will also produce the next and the next. So somehow everything replicates itself. You plant maize, you get that very maize which you harvested and plant it again. But now they are trying to change that to the effect that, and it has already started affecting some places. Now, you think some of these diseases which were attacking matoke, after some, you know, bazungu come and do research on matoke and what, then the next thing you know, you're having very serious diseases which are wilting matoke in Western Uganda, and people have to use jik to clean their pangas. You cut one, you know, matoke stem or chitoche, and you have to clean with jik before you cut the rest, because it can come and kill all your plantation, and then you cannot produce food after that. Now, eventually, if they have their way, then we have to depend on them for food, which is what they want. Then if you depend on them for food, brilliant. Then they can control you perfectly well, because then they control energy, they control things like economy, they control buying and selling, they control food. So that's what they want, to be in control of all those things, so that when the mark of the beast comes, if you do not take the mark of the beast, simple, we deny you all these things, because they have all this ability. They control movement. Okay, you cannot move, you cannot do this, you cannot do that. So now you might come and tell me science has proven something, but their scientists too have proven otherwise. El Nino rains, that season will come and go. It is not a proof of any climate change. It is a proof of nothing. Just give it a few years, it will go away. Those cycles have been there. They have been there from the Bible. They have been there from the Bible. If you've studied the scriptures, you know that nothing is new under the sun. Nothing. All these things. The temperatures go up and they come down. Now, I'll continue telling you in detail what is in that law they have and where it is going to affect our lives. And you think it's a simple thing because it is in Paris, some men in suits holding hands and jubilating on apparently historic deal. But it is bigger than that. It is something that is going to eventually affect us, because they come down with legislation on how you can plant, how you can do that, how you can produce, no charcoal, no... I mean, all sorts of things, not even just us, even a bit of them, but mostly us. That's where they are targeting, because apparently this is the continent where they are going to expand into. And so what will have happened to us if they had their way? You know what will have happened to us, but we know that they are not going to have their way, because somehow God protects us, as he has already done. I told you that when there was Ebola in Western Africa, it was not supposed to end that quickly. It was supposed to spread and spread and spread and totally reduce that population. And how do I know that? Because every day CNN was announcing there is a new strain of Ebola which is coming, there's a new strain of Ebola, and there's a new strain. Where? How do they know it? Because they knew what they were doing. And eventually, it was going to be put there, and eventually it was going to cause, and this new strain was going to be so strong that it even consumes the dead body after it has killed you, and it becomes like jelly. And all these things are planned, okay? Now, to reduce the population. Now, I read to you last week how a man who was one of the organizers of the Paris Climate Change Agreement said that the population growth in Africa is a threat to European civilization. Now, that is even surreal. How can anybody believe the population growth in Africa is a threat to European civilization? Then he went on to say that, I'm not suggesting that we throw an atomic bomb there, but something has to be done. And then I told you that Africa is not the most overpopulated continent. Actually, it is the least overpopulated continent. The most overpopulated is Asia, followed by Europe. There is about 3 extra people per square kilometer in Europe than there are in Africa. But why do they think we're overpopulated? Because they want to take over this land, because this is where they are plotting to get the resources that are going to sustain their way of life. And for us, we are supposed to just die and give up the resources if they had their way. Now, this is the plan of the New World Order. And they are plotting these things. And you see them on your screens sounding good, saying how they are helping what, how they are helping all these things. They are not helping anybody. They are helping themselves. But somehow, of course, there is a belief among so many Africans that, you know, there are solutions abroad, and, you know, Yasambazungu are going to come and care for you and what. And it's a very, very bad mindset, because it is what is going to make people vulnerable, who would at least stand up to themselves. But because they believe those people have any good intention, they will be vulnerable. But they don't have any good intention, I can tell you that, none whatsoever. And now, these are quotes from people who are there in conferences. This is not even secret. This is all over it was even on Facebook, and where somebody says that the population of Africa is a threat to European civilization. And he goes on to say that, I'm not suggesting we throw an atomic bomb. Can you imagine? Okay, by not suggesting it, he's suggesting something almost as bad. Eh? You know, if somebody comes and says, okay, you've done something so bad, okay, I'm not saying we should kill you. Man, you're saying, come on. Eh? Okay, you've not said you should kill me, but what is the next option? Because by the fact that you even mentioned that means that you're plotting something bad, almost to the level of death. So now this is precisely what is happening out there. But of course, some scientists will win awards and what, because they want to spread all this thing. They want to spread this. Now, if any scientists, when they were spreading homosexuality, any scientists who came out, especially from Africa, and proved that homosexuality is genetic and people are born like that, that was a sure way of winning an award. Sure way of winning an award. Because who is giving the award? The person giving the award is the one who is you're promoting their agenda. Now, if you come from this continent where they're actually struggling so much to promote that agenda, and you fit into their agenda, they will award you and make you feel important, take you to some places in Europe, you sleep in 5-star hotels, put on suits like them, and come back feeling important. But what you've done is you've furthered an agenda that you know very little of. Now, when I come and tell you that there's nothing new here, what they are doing right now was done by Hitler or the gun controllers. Now, this American presidential candidate, Ben Carson, talked about it and said, if the Jews had their guns, you think they would have been killed that easily? And people jumped up at him and said, what you're saying was factually wrong. And what? It is not factually wrong. It is right. People have become, there is ministries of propaganda and what, who change everything. Everything is there to be changed. They will cast a doubt on anything and say, this has proven that, this has proven the other. And somehow all they need to do is create confusion. When people believe there is this straight thing and they don't want you to believe it, they will come and create confusion. Yes, but okay, somebody says something else and something else, then the next thing you know, you don't know what to believe, then you cheat it. But it was a fact. All these things happened before. And now, by the time Hitler started showing his true colors, nobody could stand up to him, because slowly by slowly, he had squeezed the bolt, until he had pushed them into a tight corner, that now the word of the Führer was the only thing that mattered. Now, there is nothing new under the sun. It is happening again, right now. And when you see the Pope going around climate change, he is a part of the conspiracy. Why? Part of promoting the new world order. And what is the new world government? I told you this from Revelation chapter 13. The false prophet, who is Pope Francis, the false prophet. Now some people think you can send me messages and say what? Pope Francis is the false prophet. Okay? And now I'm even getting reports of some of the children whom he came here and kissed who have since died. But I will tell you details later. But I'm telling you, he is a top person in the demonic world. Top person in the demonic world. And I will tell you that now. But he came here, we prayed a lot. He did not have the impact he thought he would have spiritually. Now, there are some people I'm waving for people here and there and what. But, of course, there are certain fires that started, especially now, pushing towards the new one world religion, where now Muslims and Christians are getting together and trying to find common ground. Now there are some imams who are coming out saying that there are some similarities with Christianity and what, and some Christians will go down that road and say, no, we are all brothers, we all worship the same God. And some people will go down that road and get themselves confused and part of that one world religion, and they will end up in a very bad place. I can tell you that. But then, thank God so many people are listening to what I'm saying here today, and they will not end up in that place, because they will know the truth. They will have been insulated against the lies of the devil, and they will know that when somebody comes and tells you that we worship the same God with Muslims, that is a lie. Okay? We do not worship the same God with the Muslims. They worship a demon. Okay? That apparently appeared to the prophet, because it cannot be the same God. Their God does not have a son. Ours has a son called Jesus Christ. Those cannot be the same person. It cannot be the same person. Those are two different people. So either theirs is God or ours is God. I know which one is God. Okay? And I know which one is a demon. Now, so it's just that simple. You know what you believe. Where you know what you believe. You know how to hear from God. You know how to be led by the Holy Spirit. You know how to stand your ground. You know the scriptures because you're reading them. And you value your relationship with God. And as we step into this time of great deception, you stand out at the side and just look at people who are being deceived in the name of science, in the name of what, accolades and all those things. And you just see them walking straight into a bad place, okay? Walking straight into hell. Because apparently they are being flattered by the attention of the world and everything. That's why Jesus said that Revelation says that cowards will have their place in the lake of fire. Why? Because some people will follow those things because they fear to take a stand for Christ. So they are fearful. And so you go down because you don't want to be different. Okay? It's going to come to a time when actually those who are the true believers in Jesus Christ are totally different. But they will be powerful. There's not going to be a time when they are weak, when they are weaklings, but they'll be different. I told you before, the book of Daniel is a clear picture where Daniel and his friends Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are standing out as worshippers of Jehovah in an evil world where they are worshipping Nebuchadnezzar. He puts up an image and tells everybody, worship it or you're going to be burnt. But some people stand up and say, no, we are not going to worship it. And they tell the king, but let it be known to you, if our God cannot save us, we shall not worship your image. And then God saves them. Now that is the kind of Christianity that there is going to be. The people who are going to stand in the times in which we are living will be like Daniel, Meshach, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. People who stood for what they knew. The Bible says, those who know their God, those who know their God. Not those who know about God, not those who follow some religion or some, you know, crafted or followers of some church or some religion, but those who know their God will be strong and do great exploits. And then it says, those who are just will remain just. Those who are deceived will be deceived. Those who are in the know, those who know, will instruct some others who don't know and bring them up to scratch and save as many souls as possible. That is the purpose of all this. But you have to understand that you might be listening to this for the purpose of arguing, as some people do, but you know that by the time you come and start telling me all this, I read a lot of this stuff. I read a lot. You come and tell me science proved climate change, I'll tell you how many scientists have been chased out of their jobs in universities in America because of coming up with groundbreaking research proving that climate change is a hoax. The same thing as a scientist who came up and proved about how homosexuality changes everything about a person and makes them vulnerable to diseases and what, and basically how it's abominable, what we always know. But when a scientist comes and proves it, the man was hounded out of a job, chased away and basically turned away and humiliated, because the worldless system accepts those who are there. As now, if you come up and say you've proven that it is this whole thing, homosexuality is true and what, they will give you an accolade. Okay, and you will sound important and what? But we live for an eternal prize. We don't live for the prizes here. If we did, there are so many things we wouldn't be doing. Okay? I live for the day I will look Jesus in the face. Okay? I want to have done as much of what he sent me to do as possible. That is the one day I live for. There is nothing this world can offer me to take my focus away from that day when I will meet the Lord. And I tell him, Lord, I tried to do as much as I could. I did, okay, I was not 100%, I'm sure I would not have been, but I did as much as, that is, somebody was talking to me, that T.L. Osborne, the great evangelist, how he passed on, and how he died. And he seated there, okay, he died on Valentine's Day of 2013, I believe. He seated there in his house with some people. Then he tells them he's missing his wife, Daisy, who had died earlier. And it was Valentine's Day, and he said he's missing his wife, Daisy Osborne, who had died earlier. So apparently he told Jesus that he spoke and said, Jesus, I have done everything you told me to do. Now take me home, I want to see my wife. And he just died like that. Just push past on like that, no sickness, nothing. As soon as he said, Jesus, I've done everything you told me to do. Now take me home, I want to see my wife. And see, his heart stopped beating, and the next thing he was dead, and that's it, on Valentine's Day. So, and he's there, you know, in paradise. Now, what can somebody give you to exchange what the Lord, you know, has for you, for this rubbish that the world has to offer? Some accolades here, some, you know, exaltation here, some acknowledgement here, and, you know, feeling cool, you know, you are cool because apparently you believe all the rubbish that science throws in your lap, which you know deep down is wrong, but you want to believe it because it shows that you are accomplished intellectually. It shows that you are an intellectual, but you aren't. You can't become an intellectual by just believing a lie. Okay. And then, of course, there's all this promotion of people who do not, you know, Christianity is highest. They call it, they will say religion is highest among illiterates. So now they are giving the impression that, if you shun religion or if you shun Christianity, then you are of necessity an elite. okay, intellectually accomplished. Well, what rubbish is that? So they say, you know, the higher the IQ. I told one of those people that you come and we go and go for an IQ test. You does not believe. Come and we go for an IQ test and we see if you will beat me. Okay? Because I know he would not beat me. Because I know he's not intellectual, but he wants to feel that way. Of course, he can become if he wanted, but he wants to feel that way, and he thinks the easiest way of doing it is by saying, no, you know what, science has proved what? Where were you when it was proving it? I mean, were you in the lab when they were... How can science want to prove God? How can you prove God? I mean, the very thought of it is stupid. For somebody saying that he's going to go to a laboratory and prove God, how? You're going to mix what? Sodium nitrate and what? And then you prove God exists. I mean, what kind of rubbish is that? And all by looking in the galaxies and trying to see what and hoping that you'll see some creature floating by and say, okay, that's God. Okay, now he exists. Wow, I wish you luck. Anyhow, what we are saying here is of much more importance, and that is that live for the day that you meet the Lord. There will be no regrets whatsoever. So that you know, I did everything I could have done, and now I'm meeting it, and I'm coming for my reward. I'm coming home for my reward. Where you are not scared of anything, you cannot... I mean, the beauty of the life we lead, okay? You cannot scare me with death, because the worst thing you can do to me is kill me. And even if you did, as soon as I close my eyes, I open them and Jesus is right there. I mean, really? That's the best deal. Not that I'm going to die, because I'm not going to. Not that people haven't tried to kill me, they have tried to. But the thing is, I mean, that's the best life, where you are sure, you're absolutely sure, if the worst thing you can do is kill me. But even if you did, the next minute I opened my eyes and wow, my mansion is there. And things are just good. Okay? Now, how can you exchange that for anything this world has to offer? Because even the richest, the most powerful people have so many problems. Now, if you listen to, I've listened to some of these top preachers, and they will not mention names, but they say the people who are glorified on television as having it all, how they are a total mess personally, and how so many of them their biggest worry is how to keep away from committing suicide. Now, you think you have a bad life? I'm telling you, you don't, because all of them are going to see people of God. Now, people, preachers, you see, like Joyce Meyer, meet people all the time, top celebrities who come to her to tell us about your life, because they see she's happy in Christ. Now they want to come and listen to her, but they have given up so much for what the world has to offer, and they have gotten it, and they realize it's empty without Christ. It's empty totally. So now they start running to people who have Christ. Okay, now you listen to people like, of course, you will not mention names because that would be betrayal, but people like Joyce Meyer and those top preachers, they are meeting celebrities every day, and they are depressed, they are downcast, they are very discouraged, very fearful, because they have given everything for that life there they have. The moment they die, they know where they are going, because they sold their souls, and they know they are not going to a place which is not so good. So man, their life is just miserable, absolutely miserable. So do not be tempted by anything that the world has to offer. It has nothing. I mean, you will get it on your terms. At some stage, you will get everything the world has to offer on your terms, not on their terms, when you get it from God, and you have an absolute surety that this is mine, nobody can take it away from me, God has given it to me. So you get the good things of this life, and you enjoy the best of both worlds. That's what the Lord wants us to do, to enjoy the best of both worlds. Now, so I'm telling you, we'll continue talking a bit of course about the legislation that is going to come out of the climate change conference that was in Paris, and how it's going to be unfavorable for so many people. Now, for you, it was just something you saw in the news and what, but man, it is going to be deep. It's going to be major. Now, next year I'll come back and tell you. This year I spoke about 15 things that you should expect in 2015, and I was intending to replay that message again, just so that we, you know, take stock of what it was. But I'm telling you that there are quite a number of things that actually, I mean, all of them happened in stages. We spoke about Russia coming up, which it has, big time. We spoke about sex change, gender change, and you saw Bruce, whatever, that guy who is on the Kardashians, that what, changing what, and then there was also a guy from boxing called Frank Maloney, and now it's becoming way up there of, you know, people wanting to change genders and what, which is a very demonic thing. We spoke about bestiality, and I told you what happens when people elevate animals to the level of themselves, of human beings, then the next thing you know, it's okay to start having sex with animals. Now, that's where it starts. Because even in Germany, it actually tended in that direction, okay? Where now it's okay. Now, suddenly, bestiality, by the way, is a big, big thing in Europe. Big time. Big time. Countries like Switzerland, Sweden, Germany, and what? I mean, bestiality, a big thing. Now, you imagine a human being reducing themselves to having sex with an animal, and how that gives the devil a good laugh when he sees somebody who is made in the image of God reducing himself to that level. Okay, I mean, he has a good laugh and says, look at these clowns. I mean, you have a heritage which is so big, and you reduce yourself to that anyhow. It tends to in that direction. That's precisely where it tends to. And it's part of a debasement where human beings debase themselves to the level where the devil wants them to be. And he has his preachers who go and do those same things for that purpose. So what I'm telling you is this. Now, as somebody who listens to the Watchman, I read this scripture at the night prayer, but I'm going to read it again for some people, because this is what I want to task everybody who is listening here, who considers themselves a part of the Watchman, you know, or at least who identifies one way or the other with what we are doing here. Now, this scripture is from the book of Ezra, chapter 8, verse 21, and it says that, then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava, that we might afflict ourselves before our God to seek him. Actually, it speaks in the other verse, to humble ourselves before our God, to seek him, to seek of him a right way for us and for our little ones and for all our substance. Now that we are coming to the end of the year, do not be somebody who just walks, marches majestically, goes and has a nice, powerful, wonderful Easter, Christmas, waits for New Year's, you know, goes out and has a blast, goes someplace and what, and you do not prepare yourself properly spiritually for next year. Now, I trust everybody who came to the night prayer to take some time off and proclaim a fast, okay? If you're a starter, you can start with what you can manage. You can start with eating nothing throughout the day and eating it only in the evening, okay? Just that. You can do that 3 days. You can do it 1 day. You can do it 2 days. I would recommend 3 days where nothing in the morning, nothing at all day until evening if you're a starter. Of course, some people are, you know, very good at this, they can do it more powerfully. Meaning some people do 21 days, some people do what, but you know, do what you can. The most important thing is that you take some time off to seek the Lord for a direction for 2016. Don't take this lightly. Take time off. Pray, spend time with the Lord, and seek direction. Ask God for direction for your life in 2016. What do you want to see in your life in 2016? What are the things you want to see happening in your life? And in all areas of your life, you can have direction in terms of your family. What do you want to see in your family? What do you want to see in your business, at your workplace, in your spiritual life? And all these things, okay? Put them before the Lord and pray about them and seek direction. And the Lord is faithful, because he will actually give you direction. He will give you direction. When the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding, Proverbs 3:5, acknowledge him in all your ways and he will direct your path. What you're doing is acknowledging God, that God, I want to depend on you for 2016. I want you to put me in a place where you want me to be. I want to depend on you, and I'm acknowledging right now that. Now, when you do that, when you acknowledge him in your ways, he directs your path, even if you might not know it. You might not know why you're taking this direction, why you're doing this, why you're meeting this person and what. But at the end of the year, you realize that when you look back, you realize that, hey, that meeting was divine. Now, the people who have had the biggest impact on my life, I thought I met them accidentally. But after some time, you realize that that person has had a tremendous impact. Then you look back to the time you met them, and you realize that God set you up. It was a setup. So our lives are all a setup. God is setting you up for somebody who is going to have a big impact in your life, somebody who is going to take you to the next level, somebody who is going to be the perfect business partner and all those things. You know these things. Now, you might not even know how to hear his voice and how to get those directions, you know, clearly from the Spirit. But when you acknowledge him and take time and give him, you know, authority over the direction in your life, then he will direct those paths one way or the other. Okay, you'll find yourself doing things which turn out to be very good for you, making decisions which turn out to be perfect for you in 2016, and you didn't even know why you took that decision, but somehow, because you gave God that authority to guide you, he's pushing you there, and you're going there, and you find yourself soaring, and you know, all sorts of favor. Now, that's a powerful thing. So I want you to take time off and seek the Lord. Do not just walk straight into the year like, you know, you own it and all those things. Like, get in there, have a scripture, something that you can hold on, something that you've gotten from the leading of the Lord, and say that this is the scripture by which I'm going to be, you know, living in 2016. This is what I want to see in this place. This is what I want to see in this place. This is what I want my family to be like. This is what I want to. And even things which are important to you. I want to be married in 2016. I want to have completed this house in 2016. I want to have done this thing. All those, everything that is important to you is important to God. Okay? Don't think that God is just important. I mean, he's just interested in certain grand things of, you know. Everything that is important to you is important to God. But as long as you know that his plan supersedes yours, okay? He has a plan, you be a part of it, and he is a part of yours. In other words, so family, business, you know, whatever, don't just leave it to chance. I beseech you, take time and pray, and God is going to direct you. Pray that you may be able to, ask God to help you grow in the knowledge of how to hear from him in every situation. So that in every situation you have a guidance from him. This is what we've been teaching at the night prayer, about how to be led by the Holy Spirit. And some of you will get dreams, and don't take those dreams lightly. If you can't interpret them, write them down. At some stage you'll find somebody who can help you interpret it. Or even if you do not find that person, when that event happens, you'll be able to have seen something. Because we've been teaching a bit about dreams, because usually the beginning of spiritual direction for people who are starters is dreams. Okay, of course it moves on to higher levels, but it never moves actually. You never completely outgrow dreams, but sometimes you move to higher levels where now you can clearly hear the voice of God, where he talks to you directly. But when he doesn't, because your mind is so active, and because you'll interrupt what he's saying somehow and overrule it, it sometimes comes through the area of dreams, and those dreams can be very important. So when you're seeking the Lord, take your dreams seriously. Even all throughout the year, take your dreams seriously. Write them down as soon as you wake up, and keep them somewhere in a small book, and they will give you direction, because God is in the business of giving you direction. And this is fulfilling the end time plan of making his children come out on top in every sphere of life, in all things. Okay, now if you're a Christian and you're listening to this and you're standing for political office, I'm telling you now, this is what you're going to do. Go and make a commitment to God of what you'll do when you get to office. Okay? Don't just let it be. Let involve God in it and say, God, if I become this, you know, chairman or this member of parliament or this and this and this, I am going to, you know, do this, stand for, you know, Christian principles. I'm going to do this. I am not going to, you know, I will not let, make it known to God what you intend to do when you get into those positions, and make a vow before him, if you're standing for political office, whatever level. And God is faithful. He will make it happen. And so I just want you to do that, because it's we can no longer live our lives the way we used to live them, where you just walk into something and walk out of it, and you walk into a year not knowing anything about what it's going to be like. At the beginning of next year, I'll come and give you my own version of Watchman events that are going to happen in 2016, and some of the things. But I'll give you some of the things we talked about for 2015, I mean, in one of these consequent shows, so that you see that the things we talk about, actually, we seek the Lord and those things actually come to pass. So now I'll tell you my version of the things you should expect in 2016 and which direction the world is going to be leading us, but also direction for the people who consider themselves a part of this ministry, for our partners, okay? For our partners, and I pray for them all the time. I pray for their, you know, I you have no idea. I do not want to see anybody who partners with this ministry not going upwards, you know. And it's such it consumes me that, you know, anybody who is a part of this has got to see a difference, has got to see something, you know. If it is not happening, and the person comes and asks me, I go and pray and get a specific answer for that person, why this is not happening. Somebody came and asked me and said, I've been partnering on this and I haven't really seen. Then I went and prayed. I tried to find the answer there. I couldn't get it. I went and prayed about it. And, you know, I got the answer. And it's because he's not stepping out of where he's been in some car business, and he's supposed to expand. He's supposed to step out because the blessings are there. But he's not stepping into an area where he can appropriate those blessings and make them a part of his life. And you have to be you have to be ready for change. Okay? Because if God is going to expand you, he cannot expand you when you're still, you know, on a ceiling which is right at your head. You have to walk, get out, you have to step out. But because some people are fearful of stepping out, of trying out something, of doing this, when you understand that you're blessed because you are partnering with a ministry that is blessed, now be bold, step out and expect those blessings to follow. And they do, they always do. Now, I'm telling you because these are some of the things that I do. I do not sit back and wait for things to happen. I step out and they start happening while I'm out there. And I make them happen. So I say, now I'm. So, for instance, I'll give you an example. If it was you, you say, now I've been doing this business. Now I'm expanding my business to something else because I'm connecting to something big. So, a ministry that is blessed. So, I'm expanding to something bigger. Okay? And expand and move outward. And make sure that is the kind of life that you lead. Do not be tied down in one place where you're expecting a blessing of God, but you basically you want to expand, but you filled the container in which you're sitting, so there is no place else. So now the blessing stops. You remember the woman who was told by Elisha to go and get containers and pour out the oil? The Bible says as soon she poured oil, and the containers were all getting filled and taken away. When the containers were finished, the oil stopped. Okay? So your provision, you can stop it by not wanting to step out. And that was actually the truth for that gentleman. So I try to advise him, now you've been doing this, step out, move out there. The blessing is there. It will follow you. It is on you. When you're blessed, you're blessed. Because when you're blessed, you go everywhere and the blessing follows you. Okay? So, but it does not find you seated at home and doing nothing. It finds you when you're out there moving and being of you know, some tremendous use to yourself and to society and doing something and following mostly the will of God. So it's very important for everyone here. I will say this again. Please take time off and seek the Lord for 2016. Don't just walk into it. I know it's going to be a wonderful year. I know it's going to be a wonderful year for Watchman partners. And there are some blessings. There are some blessings which are, you know, which we are going to see in this year, next year, which are going to be tremendous, tremendous. I know that. I was going to speak a dream which I saw, but I'm not going to. Which somebody told me, rather, somebody who is one of our, you know, partners, but I will not. I will say it some other time. But it's important for you to understand, children of God, that prepare yourself. Raise your expectations. Okay. Now, one of the things I have seen. Now, somebody sent me an email. And it actually raised my mood, because I've actually received like 3 emails of people sent asking for, they wanted jobs, and they put something small, some small seed, and now they are telling me. One of them told me, they got a job. Another one, who was doing some other thing, in business, but small business, and wanted a job, told me he's going for an interview. I think later this week, so I know he's going to get that job, because when I read that on email, I prayed and said, Father, make that a job, make a turn an interview into a job, in Jesus' name. And so I love testimonies. I love seeing people who are moving upwards. I love seeing people who are, you know, and so many other things which are happening, by the way, and I'm so excited about them, and it's going to be powerful in 2016. But I want everyone who is there, at least if you can't, at least fast one day, please. But take some time. If you are sick of ulcers, then fast something else. Okay, you can take milk maybe and what, but if you like something, you do something. Take some time off and, you know, seek the Lord and find your direction. Acknowledge him in all your ways, Proverbs 3:6. Acknowledge him in all your ways and he will direct your path. Now, when we were starting some of these things, when we didn't know how to comprehensively listen to the direction of the Lord, we just acknowledged him and he directs our path. I can't tell you how many times I took this path and I realized that it was God pushing me there. When you do this and you realize later, you get to know these things later, that if I had taken the other path, I was going to fall in serious trouble. If I had done this, I was going to be in serious trouble. But you didn't even know, you didn't even hear the voice, you can't even hear the voice because at the time, I was spiritually immature, but God is always there. He's always there directing you. So now, I want you, even if you are not at the level where you can comprehensively find the direction of God, acknowledge him in all your ways and he will direct your path. Honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruit of all your increase, so shall your barns be full, okay, and your vats overflow with new wine. The Bible says, honor the Lord with your substance. Do not let yourself get into this stinginess. I know people who have do not let yourself get into this stinginess. Understand the way the principles of God work. Walk in the abundance of God. Sow into abundance and you'll reap abundance. You reap abundance. How it works is, it does not automatically, okay? Not automatically, it does not happen suddenly. You see, the trouble is, there is a lot of sudden in churches. That's why you have so many pastors who are being fleeced, went to buy gold and what. Somebody was even telling me, some other guy went to buy gold and was fleeced of millions, actually hundreds of millions of shillings. Because people want quick fix. You want to be tomorrow to become powerful and rich. No, that's not how it works in the kingdom. Because that's not how a farmer thinks. I told you, a farmer, for him, he plants, he grows. Eventually, where he was planting 1 acre, he's planting 10 acres, 20 acres, but it does not happen immediately. Then he grows, it grows bigger and bigger and bigger, until eventually he becomes wealthy and prosperous. That's how the kingdom of God works. You move from one level to the other, to the other, to the other, to the other, until by this time next year, you have to be very far ahead of where you are now. If school fees has been a problem this year, for instance, university students, if school fees has been a problem this year, determine that next year the provision of God is going to be there. It is not going to be a problem. How do you do that? By using what the little you have to create the big you need. Okay? If you are, a businessman, especially businessmen or even workers, determine that next year you are not going to be at the same level. You've been there for 1 or 2 or 3 years. Move upwards. Connect and move upwards. We are all moving upwards. Do not stay stagnant. I hate stagnancy. There is nothing I hate like stagnancy. I perhaps it's even worse than retrogression, because retrogression, at least you're moving, and if you can move downwards, you can move upwards. But people who are stagnant tend to kind of comfort themselves, because you're at a certain level, you have enough for this, you can parent, you can do this, probably even have your house, but you're not moving forward. So you have a certain level of comfort within within servitude, so to speak, and you deceive yourself that you're okay, but you aren't. You actually aren't, and you are, you could use something to pop you up and take you to the next level and then to the next. Because when you start moving upwards, you will never want to stop. You will never ever want to stop. Anyhow, thank you so much. I'm going to end this by saying again, take time between now and the beginning of the year to seek the Lord about your direction next year. Now, if you want to ask any questions or to give us testimonies or things like that, there is a channel we use, which is usually the email address, which is ugandanwatchman@gmail.com. Ugandan with an N, watchman@gmail.com. If you want to, another way of doing it, you can send a message or even WhatsApp to this number which I'm going to give. But also, you can also give your seed to this number. If you want to sow a seed towards anything, give it, sow that seed and give it a name. Don't just put money, sow a seed and give that seed an instruction. Sow a seed and say, this seed is going to do this and this and this for me. This seed is going to make sure that I never have school fees problems until this. This seed is going to make sure that my business expands to this level. This seed is going to give it an instruction. Don't just sow. Sowing like that is religious sowing, okay? Sow and give that seed an instruction. Now, here is the number to which you can sow and which you can also use for communication to other things. The number is 0780-292-555. I'll say it again. 0780-292-555. Or the email address, ugandanwatchman@gmail.com. Now, thank you so much for joining us on The Watchman and for listening to this program. We'll be again with you next Wednesday. In the meantime, have yourselves a wonderful evening and go and spend time with the Lord. God bless you.
Do you want to see how Bible prophecy fits perfectly into contemporary news? What's this business about the Antichrist and the mark of the beast? Who is the Antichrist? Be him alive? How shall the number 666 be introduced in commerce? The Watchman dissects fascinating insights into the end times and Bible prophecy. Make a date with The Watchman every Wednesday, 9 to 10 p.m. only on Spirit FM 96.6. Tune in and stay on.